We ought to be grateful that God saw fit to let us live through the night, enjoy the blessings of a beautiful day, and come here this morning to sing and to pray and to study. I'm glad to be with you, and I'm glad you're here. Let me suggest to you at the very beginning that I'm very human and I'm very capable of making mistakes. If you find that to be the case, if you let me know about that, I'll be glad to sit down with you and discuss it. And if I've taught something that this volume does not teach, I'll be glad to repent of it, ask God to forgive me, and never preach it again. Is that fair enough? But on the other hand, if you find these things to be so, which I think you will, the only thing that I ask is that you accept them, you believe them, you obey them, you live by them, and you teach them to others. That way you know from whence I come, and that our faith ought not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. I've seen a number of you this morning already that I've known over the years, a number of Hoosiers even. It's good to be with the Jerry Dentons again, good to see them, and others from other places. Good to see Jason and Karen Galloway. Jason just came here, he said, about 3 weeks ago. He's from Youngs Creek, Indiana. And he was in our preacher training program in Ellisville that we conduct every year, and a good number of years ago, I think 95. He's a good young man, and he has lots of ability, so be sure and put him to work. It's nice to be with you. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the topic, thyself. You ever get to thinking that the Bible is always talking about somebody else rather than you? When you open this sacred book and begin to read its pages, it talks to you, talks to me. And when you understand the value of the word thyself, you can see that. So I'd like to catalog for us some things that the Bible has to say in regards to thyself. As a basis for the study, I'm reading from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Paul is placing emphasis on thyself. As you think about that, let me call to our attention some things that we need to be familiar with in regards to that word. First of all, I've got these on the board so you can see them and make you some notes if you'd like to. The scriptures emphasize, first of all, that each of us must study. In the book of 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, "Study to show," guess who? "Thyself. Approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I have the responsibility, and so do you, to study this volume. Nobody can do it for you. All of us must learn to do that. Thyself would tell us that. In Hosea 4 and 6, the prophet said that God's people were destroyed for the lack of. Lack of what? Were they real? No. Were they what? At the drove? No. Lack of knowledge. They didn't know. And as a result of that, the Bible said they were destroyed. No wonder Jesus said, in the book of Matthew 11 and 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." In Matthew 9, he talks about in 13, "But go and learn what this meaneth." In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, "Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching." In the final book, in Revelation 1 and 3, we're called upon to read, to study, that we might know. You see, you can't obey something you don't know. And you can't teach something that you're unaware of. And so no wonder Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So I challenge you at the very outset of this morning service that you study like the Bible teaches. But somebody said, "I don't like to study." And I can understand that. But you can learn to like to study. I read the story of a young lady who read a book. And somebody said, "How'd you like the book?" And she said, "It's the worst book I've ever read." But she met a young fellow, and they got to dating, and they got to talking about the book. And he said, "Yeah, I know about it. I wrote it." So she reads it again. And somebody asked her, "How do you like the book?" She says, "The best book I've ever read." Why the difference? Now she knows the author. Once you get to know the author of this volume, God, you'll have greater respect for it. And you want to read and study. I challenge you about that right now. But that's another thing I want to talk to you about. That is that the Scriptures not only emphasize in regards to the word thyself that you ought to study, but secondly, the Bible calls upon us to behave thyself. Paul writing to Timothy, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, said, "If I tarry long, that you may know how to behave yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Paul said, behave thyself in the church. What does that mean? Does that mean not run in the building, tear things up? Well, we ought not do that, but that's not exactly what he has in mind. When you behave yourself, you conduct yourself like you ought to. It has to do with the way you act. And so we need to behave like a Christian. Behave thyself as a member of the church of the Lord. We've got a lot of people who misbehave from time to time. And that needs to be dealt with, by the way. But the Scriptures emphasize in regards to that little word thyself that we need to behave as a member of the Lord's family. Can you relate to that? But as you think about thyself, the Scriptures call our attention also that we need to exercise thyself. Somebody said, "That's right up my alley. I like that. I like riding that stationary bike, or jogging, or walking, those push-ups. I like that exercise." Well, some of that's good, the Bible says. Profits a little. But in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, the Bible talks about that. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Look at it. Paul writing in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 contrasts spiritual exercise with bodily exercise. Notice what he says. "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise," what's the next word? "Thyself. Rather under godliness." The Scriptures emphasize godly exercise. Then he says, "Bodily exercise profits little." It does do some good, he says. "But godliness is profitable unto all things." Watch it. "Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You see, this exercise that Paul is trying to get Timothy, the young preacher, to partake in, not only has value for the now, but for eternity. It's spiritual exercise. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've done some of this? You've exercising yourself spiritually. You're doing spiritual activity that'll help make you strong and steadfast and unmovable, like Paul described in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Are you doing some of that? All of us need to be working in that area. Are you? But think with me again about that little word, thyself. You know, the Scriptures emphasize that a fellow ought to teach himself. Paul writing to the Romans in the book of Romans chapter 2 and 21. He said, "Thou that teachest another," you know the rest of that? "Teachest not," didn't guess, can't you? "Thyself. Thou that teachest a man he ought not steal, dost thou steal?"
You know, we got to get back to teaching and practicing together. Sometimes we want to teach and kind of come up short on the practice. There's a little statement in the book of Ezra that I like. The Bible says in the book of Ezra 7 and 10, I hope you remember that, that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and teach it in Israel. Did you notice the order? He first did, and then he taught. What we want to do sometimes is turn that around and do, teach and not do. Kind of like the Sadducees and the Pharisees in Jesus' day. The Pharisees had the idea in the book of Matthew 23. They'd say and do not. Remember that? They did a lot of saying, but then not too much doing. Thou that teachest another, teachest not thyself? Sometimes teachers say, now don't do it like we do. Do what we say. That won't work. Parents try that on their children. That won't work, will it, kids? We've got to get back to our parents practicing what they teach as well. You see, teachers in school need to learn that. Suppose this morning I put a sermon together on stealing. Thou that teachest the man he ought not steal, dost not steal? I worked hard and put the sermon together on stealing. All my points were parallel. I studied hard. I went over that loud six times before a mirror. I practiced. And you get ready to leave and you go out in the parking lot and you get to looking for your car. It's gone. I stole it. What will you think of my teaching? That's the point he's making there. Thou that teachest the man he ought not steal, dost thou steal? You see, we've got to get to teaching ourselves as well. Even Jesus in Acts 1:1 did that. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Even our Lord first did and then taught. And so must we. Whenever you think about thyself, the Bible calls upon us to keep thyself pure. Paul writing to Timothy again. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, that's what he said. Keep thyself pure. Did you know you have an obligation to do that? Keep who pure? Thyself. Starting right here. All the way back. Began on the back with my Columbus, Indiana friends. On up. Keep thyself pure. Nobody can do that for you, can they? But you can. And the scripture says, keep thyself pure. We need that today, don't we? In our society in which we live. In the church, we need it. Folks who are pure in thought and in deed. When the Apostle Paul wrote the Philippians about, in Philippians 4:8, he lists all those things to think on. He talked about pure things. Keep thyself pure is my obligation. And it's also yours. Do we see the value of that? Keeping thyself pure. One more point, this sermon's yours. The scriptures also say, in regards to that word thyself, save thyself. That's where I started, in 1 Timothy 4:16. You remember the text? Where Paul said, take heed of thyself to the doctrine, that is the teaching, and by doing this, thou shalt both save who? Thyself. And them to hear thee. Someone said, well, I didn't know you could save yourself. Evidently you can. He said that. Save thyself. Someone said, I didn't know you could do that. Oh, yeah. How does that work? Let me take you to a little example in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, you remember the sermon on the day of Pentecost, include the preaching that Christ was God's Son, that he was crucified, buried, that he arose and ascended on high. And those believing Jews had crucified the Christ. And they were accused of that, with their own hands, of crucified and slain the Son of God, whom God raised up. Acts 2. The Bible says in Acts 2:40, after the sermon was over, and with many other words, he exhorted and testified, saying, what did he say? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And the Bible says in Acts 2:41, they that gladly received the word were baptized. How many were baptized on the day of Pentecost? I don't know. They that gladly received the word were baptized. That we know about, but I don't know exactly. You don't either, do you? They that gladly received the word were baptized. That's how they saved themselves. They asked, what must we do? They were told to repent, to be baptized. What for? The remission of sins. And when they did that, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, the Lord added them to the church. Isn't that simple? Isn't the plan of salvation simple? It involves hearing the word, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, being baptized into Christ, Galatians 6:27, for the remission of those sins, Acts 2:38, into the one body, which is the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13, to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16, to rise, to walk in the newness of life, Romans 6:3 and 4, to be added to the church, Acts 2:47, and if faithful and steadfast, can go to heaven when it's all over. Have you done that? Have you obeyed the gospel? All things are ready this morning for you to take care of that. And I don't know of anything that you can do any better to set the tone for a gospel meeting than at the very first service, if you need to come forward, make the good confession that Christ is the Son, and be baptized into Christ. Been thinking about doing that? Why don't you do it this morning? Or maybe you're a member of the Church of Christ already, but you've been unfaithful and you've drifted away and you want to straighten up your life of repentance, confession, and prayer. You can do that right now while we're singing.